And good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, 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 dear listeners. Wherever you find yourself, guys, yes, if you are in the capital, for sure, for sure, for sure, the weather does look promising. It definitely does look promising. However, we're quickly stepping into a short break and coming back right after this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
But how can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the I.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published.
Inapitiru wapo koma kwa tathano gasmana ngashi suzi. Shangita okakala takoe kongodhi opo ukareke po onomora yoye. Tarira po epanjaro kran ko www.kran.na.
Now coming back after our extended break right there, we start in earnest with the business and economic zone here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Now, guys, I mentioned to you last night that this is a it's broken up into multiple segments. Because we started off with the discussion on the taxation creep,
when people are, because you start you earning your salary increments every year, you know, going ahead,
when you were at a level which exempted you from being taxed, i.e. you were earning too low. And I have the article open up and in front of me, and I actually have to apologize to my colleague if he is listening. Apologies. It was my other colleague just this year that wrote it. It's actually my colleague in Umenua Erastus. So, my deepest apologies in that regard. However, the bracket creep was the discussion we started off on. The reason why I began with a bracket creep, and I'll actually do just a little bit of an overview, just to, you know, recap of last night, is that it actually leads to worsening the level of inequality in the country. As mentioned, we've had the various discussions based upon inflation, based upon credit, consumer price index, based upon private sector credit extension, which includes both the private sector and the individual on the ground. Now, the individual is usually indicated as also being part of the household
brackets in terms of how the financial sector measures the consumer products that they offer. And now the consumer products obviously can also be that for the private sector, for businesses. Now, the important thing to understand here, guys, is there are various, like I mentioned last night, various ways in terms of which you can enter the discussion of inequality from. Various points of entry that you have. Last night's one began with this, the taxation creep, or, you know, how you actually creep into levels of being taxed, of being taxable. Even though if you had to compare it to a comparative or a comparison between inflation on the one end for 10 years, like I indicated, as well as also what your level of increase was for 10 years in that same period, which would actually, like the UK, people that speak about their earnings, as well as also the various inflationary based discussions in the UK, how they speak about it, it's that they indicate whether or not there's a net gain for the person. Now, a net gain, as you and I would know from our basic accounting, is in terms of whether or not there's a benefit at the end of said discussion point. You know, earnings, and then taking off deductions, is there a net gain? Is there a bonus? Is there a benefit? Is there a positive outcome in that regard? However, their workings, in terms of how they explain something, when you measure a 10-year period in terms of inflation, as opposed to people's gains, or people's salary increments, or people's continuous salary increments, or the last pay rises that took place, and the percentage at which it took place. Right? Right. Now, for example, if inflation was still in 2012, 10 years back, let's say at 10%, and it has stayed in the level of 10% all the way up until today, 2022, and your salary increments have in a way only been 3% of that 10%, 3% of that 10%, 3% of that 10% the whole way consistently, you would have actually crept up in terms of your earnings, which would in a way indicate some sort of, you know, it would have added up those increments. It would have added up that when in fact it pushes you into the next earnings bracket. That's the thinking. How they would justify the ongoing union discussions going on there in the UK, in, I know, the Netherlands has one about their farmers, about their agricultural producers. But that's the explanation that they sometimes use. Now, obviously, there is no strike action, union-based action taking place in Namibia. This is all about people in the employment zone who are employed, who were not previously taxed, meaning that they were earning too low to be taxed, are now standing the risk, or now facing the risk, of being taxed, which will ultimately actually push them back into a negative. Now the question that needs to be asked there is, firstly, should you have, you know, a blanket income tax for everyone that earns an income, no matter how small? Then you got to ask, what is the real implications of such an action? Now, the article, as I mentioned yesterday, guys, indicated that Namibia's taxation policies have actually stood still for the better part of almost 10 years. It stood still. No moves, no adjustments, no amendments, no updates, no reworkings, no let's try and, see what the latest levels are. Because in Namibia, the minimum annual taxable salary was increased from 40,000 to 50,000 in 2014. Annual. That means this is a person that earns 40,000. Was now raised to the same person potentially earning 50,000. And this has remained unchanged until now. Now, the cumulative rate of inflation amounts to almost 47.5% from 2014. Remember, guys, implying that the adjustment from 40 to 50,000 was inadequate. Now, this is according to experts. And secondly, that this is because it does not account for inflation in the last 8 years and does not prevent bracket creep. Now, the article further notes that the Ministry of Finance will decide that it will increase the minimum income tax threshold to 100,000 effective for the next financial year. Now, let's understand this scenario. What is actually the most fearing, I don't know what's wrong with my English, guys, but let me reframe that sentence. What is potentially the most frightening thing about this approach, about the significance of you accidentally earning your way into a tax bracket? Firstly, obviously, it speaks one good thing that you have been consistently being, you know, rewarded by your employer for loyalty, ultimately, in one sense. Secondly, for being there, for doing your work, for being productive. And ultimately, the employer understands the value that you provide to the enterprise. Doesn't matter what the enterprise is, but to the enterprise. Now, it, however, makes it a little bit interesting in terms of, do policymakers actively stay up to date with the amount of data that floats out there? It's not data like you to connect with your internet just to watch YouTube or to be on Snapchat or TikTok. No. The amount of data is what you and I, the information that we create. You see, me talking here is data. I'm generating data. Even when you call through for the caller's contribution session, you will also be providing data back. Now, this is data that is being generated consistently. And as you now saw from the article side, policy stands still. It gets made, it stands still, which then speaks towards the notion of whether or not policymakers or the administrators in the realms of policymaking in government, especially, whether or not they know about monitoring. You've got to monitor a situation. You've got to monitor the data that you are collecting on a monthly basis, on an annual basis, on a financial year basis. You've got to monitor the data. The reason I indicate towards the data monitoring scenario, I'm not saying that government does not monitor the data or does not speak to the information that they have at hand. However, if someone is going to accidentally earn themselves into a tax bracket, which could be harmful for the growth, the development on a grassroots level for the most disadvantaged Namibian, this can be a detrimental mechanism. It can be. It can be. Now remember, the accumulative inflation percentage was 47.5% that I mentioned. Encased within the article. 47.5%. It's a lot, guys. I know. For those of you that were part of the civil servants that that's, you know, that saw the 3% increase. If you try and factor in that 47.5% inflation rate against what you have now also earned or received, you would also ask, and you would also actually see that there was no actual benefit. There's no net benefit because you would still be at a negative percentage. You see, in the private sector, the private owners of businesses and corporations, they actively provide salary increments based upon, you know, if there is a good year, if there is a good earnings period, if there is a good session, stuff like that. However, if there's not one, it would be communicated. Now, I don't know how it is in the civil service or in the public service, for, you know, for people who work in the public service and the civil service. But just viewing that notion in terms of 47.5% in terms of accumulated inflation is heavy. It is heavy. Now, as an interesting part, I'm just bringing in a little philosophy here. As an interesting part, it is interesting to see across the world where labor strikes are popping up. The reason why I say it's interesting is you hear the details that union bosses, union leaders, union representatives, or people who are impacted, that being i.e. the workers, what they share, what they indicate, what they say, when was the last time an increase took place? When was the last time they actually saw an adjustment to their benefits? Or if they even had benefits, what was the last offer on the table? Then you also get to understand from the union bosses in terms of what is the real driver of inflation. Now, I mentioned to you 2 weeks back, what is the real driver? You and I, we know the increments to the fuel and the energy costs is one direction. You see, with inflation, it's the same thing, just like inequality. There's a lot of entry points that you can take. There's a lot of entry points because something is causing an increase somewhere down the line, somewhere down the channel. So if there's a petrol price increase, you know where the increases will come through in food. The consumer products, in food, in clothing, in other services, things that have to be transported by bus, by air, by ship, by road, or by rail. So you would know where the increases can be expected. We've been educated through the Ukraine conflict, which specific consumer products are going to be impacted because of shortages. So that means human conflict, war, is also a negative. We also knew about China impacting the global oil production levels, because every time when China's zero COVID policy kicks in a Chinese city, then there is a lockdown of a suburb or of a street or a neighborhood or even the entire city, which i.e. ultimately impacts how the oil producers look at China's energy needs in terms of the oil production. So we know those things. But inflation nonetheless continues. So what ultimately is the major spur? Now, I indicated to you the major spur of inflation, which international union bosses, especially guys from the UK, have indicated what spurs inflation on, is the profits that companies make. It's the profit margins that companies make. So if they saw this year we made 1 million, then we want to make 2 million next year. Right? You get that drift. So if you want to make 2 million, what would you do? You would shift a cost to the consumer, i.e. if the price of a liter of milk was today $10 and you made a million this year in this financial year for the business, and you want to make 2 million from that liters, from that 1 liter of milk in its sales to consumers next year, and you want to make 2 million, you've got to adjust the price upwards, meaning you put an increase on it. Now, before you guys come and jump down on me and say, listen, why doesn't the government intervene and say, listen, no increases on prices of products or stuff. That is the most dangerous thing you can ever suggest. I'm already stopping, and I know which caller that might be. I know who you might be. I'm already stopping you because to do that, it was actually proven that there were only two political leaders in history who did that. I'm not going to mention the first one. The second one was the guy by my namesake, Dwight D. Eisenhower. But it was actually to spur growth in their economies, i.e. in order to alleviate poverty, but to increase workers, people that go, that have jobs, 8-to-5 jobs, and to increase their ability for their salaries and their earnings to have some meaning in their everyday life, you've got to tell the companies no price increases on products and services, goods and services. And this was all in the aim of reducing poverty.
Whether you're a fed cookie or a podaikie, 20K could be on your way. Stay tuned. NHP, we're about you.
Now we come back, and just to indicate to you, the phone lines are actually open from now. But if you don't have the number, it is 083-288-401. Now, the reason why I indicated that specific example to you in the just before the ad break was that there were only two known global political leaders who did that in their respective countries. My namesake, Dwight D. Eisenhower, when he became president of the United States after his stint in the Second World War, did the same thing in order to spur growth, not just in his country of the USA, but also internationally. Remember, so many countries had to rebuild themselves after the Second World War. But enough of the history lesson. I get into the key part of the discussion based upon this inequality report that I mentioned to last night. This specific report, guys, as mentioned, it's actually just the executive summary that I have, because the report itself, which I also downloaded, is pretty big. It's like a 300 page thing. I'm not done as yet, so I'm just going to work from the executive summary for you, keep it short and sweet. But it's known as the World Inequality Report 2022. It was compiled by the World Inequality Lab. They were, like as mentioned last night, they worked in conjunction with one of the UN agencies, the biggest one actually, the UNDP, as well as that they also leveraged on multiple research articles from multiple authors, as well as also the data and information from the UNDP itself, in order to try and give you this, or for me, because I'm the one sitting with the report, or with this, document, to try and give you this almost complete, but it's like trying to put up a mirror to the world and see what the world actually looks like under inequality. Now, the first instance, or the first notion that this executive summary provides you, is that they indicate, and I'm just going to quote, I'm going to read it, but quote it for you as well. They say, we live in a data-abundant world, and yet we lack basic information about inequality. Economic growth numbers are published every year by governments across the world, but they do not tell us about how growth is actually distributed across the population, about who gains and who loses from economic policies. Just that specific part factors into the taxation creep discussion of tonight and last night. You see, guys, it's not just to say that you submit your tax returns every financial year to, that's now NAMRA, it used to be Inland Revenue. But it's also a question of how, what NAMRA does with all that data that they get. I haven't extensively looked at the act of NAMRA in terms of understanding whether or not they can actually drive any policy. You know, in terms of the, because they are technically like the Namibia Statistics Agency, they receive data. They receive data. Now, policy is one thing, or making policy, because you're, to make a policy, obviously, in government would be based upon real-time issues, real-time data that you can try and evaluate, as well as also real-time and real-world scenarios that you are presented with in order to make said decisions. I won't jump that far in terms of saying, asking the question of, you know, what is the leadership of NAMRA doing? Give them time. They're still getting used to the role of being an agency. So far, they're just succeeding in the role of collecting. So far, they're succeeding in the role of collection. Now, it would be prudent to think also, if we have a statistics agency, and we also have this very crucial agency now, NAMRA, who receive data, they receive data themselves, just like the Home of the Immigration Department of Home Affairs, they also receive data. It would be helpful to know if they can at least every month. It's a hint, guys. It's a small hint. If you are listening, any of the administrators, whether or not you can just suggest to your PROs or someone there, just like what NSA does every month, they provide reports just on your website about what are the various data sets that you've monitored. And how does it look at growth in Namibia? How does it, what does it forecast towards Namibia's economic prosperity going ahead? Or are we going backwards? It's a small, what do they call it? I almost used the Afrikaans word. But in Afrikaans, we call it versoek. It's a request. It's a small request. Just a small request. The reason why I indicate to that is it will actually help the other request wherein we here at Eagle FM, when the mid-year budget review was tabled, I think last month, by Minister Shimi, wherein a lot of the economists that we here at Eagle FM had interviewed said, you know, submitting midterm budget reviews is meaningless without knowing labor statistics. And it really is the fact. Because if you want to look at beating inequality, and inequality also speaks about the fair access to opportunities, that the discussion I had 2 weeks back, fair access to opportunity, meaning having the opportunity to try and get a job. Those specific zones of discussion should be what dictates the, not dictate, it should not dictate the question, it should not dictate the data, but the data should be able to answer a multitude of questions that stem from it. It should. Now, I saw the telephone line just flashing. Okay, there it is. So we're quickly going to get into some of the contributions. And then after that, continue with some of the talking points. Eagle FM, good evening.
Hey, Professor.
How are you doing, Uncle Bona?
Fine, thank you. How are you, my brother?
I'm all right. I'm all right.
So, I just wanted to, maybe let me just take at least an hour and a minute and a half.
Uncle Bona, speak your speak. Say your say. As we would say. Say your say.
I don't want to be amateur.
Don't worry, Uncle
Bona. Unless you protect me, but I love the way because you always protect me. Stick to your point!
Uncle Bona, now you're making me sound biased, but it's okay, don't worry.
So, the significance of that data.
Yeah.
Formation of National Statistic Agency.
Mm-hmm.
Formation of many, many other issues.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the reforms, the financial policies,
mm-hmm.
and monetary policies
mm-hmm.
on our side here, and how the revenue is it
Namra.
Namra. Is doing in terms of correction of revenues, taxation. Because we need to understand the taxation because it's natural. Because even when you get into the Bible or Quran, they say you give the one for that belongs to Caesar and the one that belongs to who?
To God. Give unto give unto God which belongs to God and give unto Caesar which belongs to Caesar.
So in the Bible it's even optional. But here with Namla there must be a standard where you say fine, those who are falling in this type of category they must pay this one. They must pay this one. It's for the service. It's like a solidarity.
Well, okay, let me first understand, Uncle Bona. I just want to understand, are we still on the people that, you know, because of consistent salary increases, they now find themselves in the taxation bracket? You're talking about those guys, right?
Yeah, so they might be those ones because for us, I think I must congratulate and thank God for our government there because there are many people who are in the band, which supposed not to pay taxi, but they are hiding behind that and they are not paying taxi, especially those who are in the informal economic sector. Those ones are supposed to be traders, vendors, hawkers, street vendors and all those things, you understand? Those that can benefit from the Minister of Finance has got, I don't know whether it has come into effect, the one exemptional tax. Okay? The one that's supposed to, at least even a vendor who is selling a capana in the street, that person can be exempted.
But wasn't it just 2 years back, Uncle Bona, when
No, I'm not talking about you because of Corona.
I know. But just before Minister Shimi came into the Ministry of Finance, when he was still at the Central Bank, we had Schlettwein there before him. And it was the 2 or 3 years that Schlettwein was Minister of Finance where he kept on speaking about looking at ways of taxing the informal sector, which includes the vendor and the taxi. Yeah, that informal tax.
You are correct, because most of those financial reforms, whether the ones that had to do with the insurance, the ones that had to do with the informal taxation and all these things, all those reforms came before, during the Kadeshimi's reign. And my colleagues, my friend, my best friend, who was very competent enough, Safuda, the executive director, the former executive director.
Is she no longer there?
She went to one of those UN agencies. She was the participant. She was the, So now, during those are reforms that I'm talking about. And the one that I'm talking about is on the, was actually came during that time.
Yeah.
Now that NAMLA has come into effect and to correct revenue and things like that, what I'm now trying to say is that there are many big companies who are hiding and waiting to pay tax. And in the name of informal economy, informal ventures, informal economic sectors.
How does a company hide in the informal sector?
It's very easy.
Or are you talking about the business person doing so? Because
no, the business, the companies, the enterprise, even multinational companies, those who are inviting to pay tax, whether through SACU or whatever, there are so many through invoice which are not correct. There are so many. I don't want to get into those kind of things.
Right? Agabona, you're already revealing a lot, so you can just continue. You know, you're giving us juicy stuff here. but I understand because. The tax avoidance and tax evasion thing is a hot topic. It is a hot topic.
Most of, if you look at what Africa, including Namibia, is losing through wrongly invoiced, not wrongly invoiced documents, but because they are manipulated. Sometimes it's about the skills just to detect those fraudulent kind of activities.
Mm.
So even if you look at the system throughout, that's why most of the money is out. Not necessarily.
But sometimes, Angabona, it isn't even tax. It isn't even evasion or avoidance. It's a question of our policies sometimes not being up to date. It can also be that.
Yes, obviously. That's why I'm talking about the reform, like the former minister Shireen and the former executive director that I'm talking about.
It's Schledwein, Angabona. Not Schlein.
No, that name. Oh, my God. I have...
No problem. There's no issue.
Forgive me for mispronouncing that. So what we are saying here, so we are letting the conclusion, because to avoid the wasting of the time, is that what we need to do, you talked about, I just wanted to concentrate on the after.
Yeah.
The importance of data.
Yeah.
Because the data play a significant role, even in terms of where economic opportunities are, where we can deploy more of our resources to distribute, because we're talking about inequality, the report that you're talking about. I didn't listen to you yesterday. Let me my apologies.
It's 100%.
But all I know is that I understand how it came in. The inequality was created from the time in memoria. So, but now we are saying that there are now many, many other projects. The last thing I was talking about, renewable energies and all these things, so that we can at least try to see how we can address or redress the imbalances of the past, so that we can at least afford an opportunity to our young ones.
But it's a bit difficult, Angabona. You and I, we are realists. We like reality because we can deal with reality, which gives us the
facts.
Let's
come up with aggressive policies, aggressive effort. You know, don't say it's not difficult because we have got the existing structure in place. Whether you talked about even in agriculture, renewable energy, green hydrogen production and export and all things, we have got the facilities place, all these things. What is it that is difficult? Maybe unless if you do not have it. Are you not the one who was talking about, maybe France, we are talking about in future? The way I look at in our labor market here, we'll be running out of skilled personnel,
Angabona. It was me. It was the presentation I had here of the South African, Franz Cronier, that he did here for the local investment company, Cirrus Capital, here last month.
We've been learning out. If you say, for example, you print about, let's say, 3, 4, 5 green skills.
Yeah.
Agricultural production, maybe in Kavango, Katima, or wherever in the south. And you create some industry in the north there. Where are you going to get skill? Maybe from Nigeria and South Africa, those who are populated.
But here's the thing, Angabona. Well, if you want the industry to drive and to thrive, and obviously you want the machine in those industries to continue running, what will we have to do with immigration? Because in Namibia, we always run with the aspect of the resources is only enough for these 2.5 million people.
last time I went to see those refugee camps when we came up with a program of integrating them into the mainstream of the economy from different countries, the asylum seekers and all the things.
Yeah.
So it is good that let's collaborate, let's work together. I just want to allow people to come in because me, I'm a teacher by profession.
No problem, Angabona.
So I don't want to take a lot of things. And I'm an economist, a political scientist. I'm not a political scientist to be.
No problem.
Thank you, my word, Dwight.
No problem. Thank you. The same to you, Angabona. Now, we're quickly going to step into a short break and come back right after this, heading into the last part or the last quarter of tonight's program. Stay tuned as we, you know, head into this specific, it's the executive summary of the big report. I just mentioned with you how big that report is. It's actually a good 400 page document, but the executive summary just gives some, you know, the overview with regards to what they collected, what the situation looks like, and the likes. Let's get back right after this.
Thank you, darling.
Huh? What did I do now?
Thank you for getting circumcised. You went through a little pain to help prevent my chances of getting cervical cancer. That takes a special person.
I'm the kind of guy that likes to protect my family and myself. To book for a free circumcision or to find out more, WhatsApp 081-309-2729. Or visit us on Facebook at VMMC Namibia.
The International University of Management, IUM, witete umbo no namba no kushivefa kuja, umaintirorongo oturataya academic year 2023. Ukapatruka, enterera pa ifi ulikore paparoe mo education, ukarolongi fikora, ile ukufe o health and social science, Osho maifano, information and communication technology, o strategic management and leadership, na taimonika no tourism, osho hospitality and event management, business administration ikuterera, environmental studies and postgraduate studies, adishota demonika. Wirede, otau monika ko website, www.ium.edu.na. Ile utarere po embiroa da IUM, dikulipo pepi, Mo venduka, mongu renguru, mongu diva, no mompae, uta dimonika. Wirero tu hangi kongo di ya venduka, 061, ongo di, ne, natunatu, oma veri hamano, inda komesho, kufe tokorori rimonjira, toiko mbona kui wainerao, pamwena IUM.
Now, as we come back, I just want to take the next caller, leading us up to 7:30 at least, and let's hit it running. Eagle FM, good evening.
Yes, good evening.
How are you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing fine.
At least you're someone fresh, you know. I usually just hear three voices. I'm not complaining about them, but you have all the honors.
Excuse me?
You have all the honors. You're a fresh voice besides the usuals that I always hear.
Yeah, definitely. I could be one of the voices you hear. I even called in before yesterday.
No
problem. Yeah, only you could hear me.
Oh, doctor, how are you doing? It's Dwight. It's Dwight, doctor. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's Dwight. No, yeah, I'm doing well. Not doctor, it's only it's a complicated name in Oshiwambo.
Yeah, okay. Okay, no problem. No problem.
Yeah, no, actually, I want to take part in the conversation. It's about two takes and the other things, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's essentially based upon the inequality discussion, because you've got people because you've got people that have been earning, they would have been in the tax exemption bracket, right? Those that were earning too few to be taxed, with consistent salary increases, they now find themselves staring at the possibility of being taxed, which can actually push them back in reverse, back to square one. So based upon that, what would you like to contribute from there?
Okay, actually for me, I want to contributing to that, but not really specifically about those individuals that are trying to come in the economic.
No problem. It's 100%.
I want to go to the informal settlement, or let's not much informal settlement. I want to say communal land.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a big problem with our government. When area proclaiming to be a village councillor or a town, all the taxes that are coming from those businesses are registered, have to go to the government. But if the cooker shop and then this is more business in an informal settlement, that are paying a little bit of money is going to the headman and the communal leadership in the traditional authority there. My take is why government can't also when the business are now, like environment growing, because it become now a township, and then why can't also this traditional authority that I was grooming this business district to become a harbor, business harbor, why can't still the traditional authority still getting money from those local business when they grow bigger? Now they have to melt into the government taxi with Ministry of Finance. And then it is a traditional authority. They have been now not benefiting any longer. I think that's one also of inequality, because the traditional authority also having a responsibility. They are learning their affair with the community there. But when the business can become now big business.
Yeah, they're growing. There's growth in the business. Yeah,
they're growing from cooker store to the mini market, for instance.
Yeah.
From a shabin to a bottle store or a nightclub.
Yeah.
So now paying a tax is no longer to the traditional authority by the headman and stuff, is coming now to the ministry. And then now the traditional authority leadership that are taking care, the leader in that area, they are no longer benefiting from that. I think that's one of inequality, from the perspective that I'm looking at it.
Now, if we're looking at it in that sense, are you perhaps looking at that the payments that were always there when the business was still in its micro phase,
when incubators,
and now that it has grown, it now needs to redirect that money to the to the authorities, the right authorities. Is do you have an issue with that developing, or what precisely is the conflict that you want to point out? Because in our discussions, there's always a little bit of conflict, and inequality is the conflict itself.
Yeah, exactly. No, even when you say the right issue, it's already in conflict already, because even the traditional authority, they are also rightful, isn't it?
They are.
Yeah, so for it to divert when it's growing into the, like we give example from cooker shop to the bottle store, and then they now have to be diverting from there to go to the central government, the tax collector. That's what is the problem. That's a problem I have. Why can't you still be paying their taxes to the local authority there by the traditional and the communal and the leadership?
Oh, so it's almost like, paying the consistent tariffs and taxes that you had going beforehand.
Yeah.
Still, that is a good one, because ultimately, but here's its question then, because I was about to say it still sounds good, but then the question would be then, would the Ministry of or NAMRA, for example, would they then have to tax the traditional authority, do you think? Because the traditional authority is collecting money. Would the traditional authority then also be taxed, be liable for tax, because they are collecting money themselves? Just like let's say a town council or rural or a village council, they get taxed by NAMRA. They have so many employees, and those employees have to submit their income tax, returns every year.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be the same thing to apply?
Yeah. No. For instance, in the case of workers that are working for those those I have no concern about them. My concern, it is in a business perspective of example I give. If you now I grow my cooker shop or a tax shop to become at the stage of pick and pay, for instance. Why still I believe that I think that to be fair enough, in the area where for me to grow to that, I was supported by the community. They are the one who support me for me to accumulating wealthy and become seeing that I know I can get away. I can now lending even these retailers a license like Pick and Pay or Woman Broker, for instance, or Matt. And then I was supported by the community. But now the traditional authority, they were headmen, for instance, they were getting something from my cooker shop by that time.
Yeah.
In terms of paying my fee to them as a tax. When I grow now to that retail shop, I will no longer paying to that because I have to pay the tax straight to the government, to the central government, to the government. Now I feel like it is a little bit of a setback now for us to grow the communal environment, also to growing to have also a cough that can be also enough to have something to take care of themselves, also the community, because sometimes these people, they don't have even, for instance, a cough where they can get the emergency risk you to come, someone whose house was burned, or for instance, a poor person that lost a family member and they don't have anything to assist themselves for in times of the funeral and then also under other expenses there. Traditional authority, they're always coming there and then you look, now they have to see who have something, he go into his own pocket. But the business that they are in the environment now, because they are growing, they are giving money back to they give money to central government, not to the traditional authority anymore, to assist the traditional authority also to have a financial backup or a financial stable. That's my take. I think our central government should also give something to leave out to some businesses that are in the area of communal land, to give also that to pay their taxes to the communal landing their business affairs.
Exactly. No, that's actually a very good one. That's a very good one. Because it will actually help, even if the, let's say that now new Shabin or no not Shabin, let's say that bottle store or that nightclub, now if well I don't know if a nightclub has a social responsibility program, but if they have one, it'll be an excellent idea to run by. But we have to end up there for tonight, my brother, because my show is technically done and the next guy is just waiting for me.
Yeah, you know, it's a good thing that I come to the last. I was calling to your previous program, and my phone was ringing, and you say goodbye, and before my phone, I see it was ringing.
apologies. I think it was last night's one, because I saw there was a caller at the end.
Have a wonderful evening, my brother.
No problem. Thanks for coming through.
Thank you very much.
All right. Now, on that note, we do end it for tonight. However, it is a bit sad not to have finished off on the report or the executive summary of the report that we will cover for tomorrow evening. Stay tuned for the rest of your programming on your number one talk radio station. This has been your Business and Economic Zone. We'll see each other at the same time, same place tomorrow.
Omana ne wodon dara teme hira kama ha poro shuangongo. Hinanga mburo na bimu nguramba. Kako. Shuana non dara tamba. Wanduare mave ivi korui. Chitu hino kuna na nukushevero uthembawe hii mamaturi wa shua ngungu po waka mwaha. Okusha tokura meno matukiro kukara na wipotha mamahiwe tuombadhu. Ehiro shua ngungu, owi ni wa shua na ore tuatuhi. Etekatu thero kia njiro vandu okutuha na pare rapo. ehiro shuwa ngungu, ehiro horo mende. Monao, owini wetu atuhe. Kapeno mundu nguya njero kushito shapu mavanga, nukuhino uthemba okudha kuhona pare wambadhu. Po, oshirata shomahi, watu kundwa tokodho mbanda. Ove mwene yo kushevero shukuni no shoye, po, ehipu peno nganda yoye uriri, nondharat, nungwari, kahiro marithiro. Imbo, open genoveta, oshako veta yomathu nino wehi, uisha tano yomburo mayovieva rina mbali. O ministri yotutu mbono vikunwa, omeva nomathu nino wehi, ino ngendo nongaro njika endithi uova ndushiva, beka enda kumurungu nukuna nodho ndharata mehira kamwaha nukuhino uthemba. Monao, o ministri oshima iya njondunge kuimba beka endithi ongaro njo, okuthoku dhako kongaro hadhe rwanjo. Kehio veta yomathu nino wehi, Poveto isha tano yomburo mayovivari na mbari, kapeno mundu nguya njero kuna nonda rata momahiwa kamwaha nukuhi na uthemba. Gamu mundu nguamu ni kwenjo, molo njito dhopenje yoveta, mape womberero, yodondo ladhana mibia o mayoviane. Po, ombura imwe moshuwa kamburu. Po, odombero wade mbari, amape duko ngaro. Imba mbeno ngo nomo kuithapo dhonda rata nduva nana, kombundera aro uho na pare, Wina mawe thutodo ndola dhana mibio, mirongo vitano meyuva arihe ondara tanjo shirimbo. Ohoromende ino meziri ya okunana, nokuche hiro maturi oshua ngungu, mombiro yovi wana vyombadhu, bia tura poruwe ndo. Mondando yokuera ondengu yovi ungura yomekurithiro. Odo ondara tandaya njero wa momahio waka mwaha, odo ndande shevero tumbo todonganda, ovikuni no, noviunda vyodongombi. Odo ndarata dhopenge yoveta, odo ndade hendesha ero shuwana okuungurisa odo mburo dhokuti no marindi. O ministri maivanga ovakwatira vana mibia kukusha vemune o uthembawa opupeta, nokumuna odo mburo dhokuti okuturu ngira mumatiero no mana neno omathemba momwano wonje verero yomade vangeripo. O shuwana menara nao, oshimashini ngirwa okushivithangamwa omana neodo ndarata dhopenge yoveta, Koma uhona pare wombadhu, oshirata shomahi waka mwaha, po o ministri yopopedhu njiri modondende radhau. Oveta yehi ipiru kila omana neno uodonda rata ngeri penjeno oveta, monao shito maningiri okuturu ngira moshirata shomahi waka mwaha. Okunana odonda rata momahi waka mwaha nukuhino uthemba o penjeno oveta. Oviungura vietu, okuhona pare rapo, Noku yenenitha omaunguriro omathemba odombwiro dhehi mo Namibia. Omuhunga wetu, oku yenenitha omahaneno odomburo dhehi mo Namibia, omananeno mathemba no maungurithiro wadho kumbwiro yobature va Namibia avehi. Ondando, oku hongorera po oshungura shomathu nino wehi, no mananeno odoporo harama dhomekurithiro wehi roshua ngungu, nongwidhikiro okudhako horomende ya Namibia, Oruwano romahi roa Europe, no maungurio wakumwe kweno horo mende yehiro vando ishi, okuturu ngira mombanga yomekurithiro yehiro vando ishi. Konjivithiro komurungu, hakaena norupa romapitithiro odhombude, the ministry pono moranji. Onoro hambo umwe oimwe,
ombaro onora, ohambo ndatu, ohambo mbari, omuvyu, ombari, omuvyu.